righty, let's get into it a little bit. The whole thing with Rudy Sundman and everything else. We have his representative exclusively right now. And it is part of another spotlight segment on Long Island this morning. That's where Ray Perini joins us, part of the great team, Perini Herger. And nice enough to give us a couple of minutes. Doesn't do it for hardly anyone, but we got him. And we're proud to have him. Mr. Perini, how are you, sir?
I am good. It's great to be back. I just don't like the circumstances because I think Rudy Sundman is getting a very raw deal.
Well, we're going to get into that in a second. As far as good to be back, you never need an invitation. Always remember that. You're going to hear plenty of Ray in the next couple of months. You got the Mangano sentencing coming up in a few, and of course he's going to be right on it regarding Spoda and McPartland, that whole situation coming mid-November or so. So we'll get into that. But first, let's take care of business at hand here, Ray. Rudy, you know, it was a tough one. I was shocked. I first heard about everything. As you know, I was one of the first to kind of unveil. Actually, Tom did a great job on his show midday. I got right on it Tuesday myself. So in essence, Rudy Sundman's, you know, one of those guys, public service beyond three decades plus, you know, he was kind of the last guy I would ever think. You've known him. You've known this guy a while. You know the ins and outs as far as county government. Was it a little shocking to you when you heard the Sundman name?
It was shocking. But after I didn't get the indictment until 10 minutes before we arraigned him. And when I looked at this indictment and I see it's an empty indictment, it outrages me. I've already asked the court for a speedy trial because, you know, people have to understand what an investigative grand jury is. It is controlled by the prosecutors. In the DA's press release, he said, you know, a jury of his peers, the grand jury. Nonsense. What that jury heard is what the government wanted them to hear. The witnesses they wanted to put before them. The documents they wanted to put before them. So, and this was a grand jury with an agenda. And that's why I want a speedy trial. I do believe they use that grand jury as a weapon. And that becomes very, very dangerous. I want to get this case in front of 12 citizens who hear both sides of the case. Remember, there's only a prosecutor in there. There's no defense lawyer. There's no ability to call witnesses. I actually went to the DA's office 3 days before they handed up this indictment, thinking it would be over. Because Rudy Sundman did everything that he could to do it right. I actually gave them a letter from an ethics lawyer, a man who actually wrote the first ethics law in Suffolk County. And I'm going to read a portion of it. They had this letter on July 10th. And it actually says, upon taking office as a county legislator, he wished to be a consultant of a corporation owned by his wife that has a contract with the Center Reach Fire Department to provide consulting services to the district. He advised me that on occasion he would appear before the commissioners of the fire district to render advice related to the district. He asked me whether his so doing or so acting as a consultant would be a violation of the Suffolk County Code of Ethics. I advised Mr. Sundman that, in my opinion, he would not be violation of the provisions of the Code of Ethics by acting in such a capacity. Now, here's how they control what goes before the grand jury. They have this document. That's the basis of the entire case, not that he stole money or took trips to Hawaii or did anything nefarious, that he wanted to help the district. I gave them this letter. The lawyer, Anton Bonavino, never went before the grand jury. This letter never made it to the grand jury. So you're telling me this was a fair and open proceeding, a search for the truth?
Clear something up. We're talking Ray Perini. He is representing Rudy Sundman. Now, clear this up for me. I'm going to play a little devil's ad with you here. Now, I know you're not going to show all your cards to me, but Ray, here's my situation. Okay, so the lawyer gave Rudy that letter, advice, the whole thing. Here's what comes up in question, though, with me. If Rudy continued to work as an official of the Center Reach Fire District, okay, the ethics board, the committee, apparently told him he'd have to quit that position when he became a lawmaker, you know, legislator. So in essence, I understand what you're saying, the letter, the whole nine yards. The committee told him no. That's a no-no. You know, you call it, I mean, is it, we'll get into double dipping and all that stuff, but it's not allowed. Why didn't Rudy at least go to the committee itself? They said initially that they wanted him to quit that position. If he needed more clarity is what I'm saying. I'm just playing a little devil's advocate here with you. If he needed more clarity, why didn't he go back a second time? If there was any question. Now, listen, I understand what you're saying. You're going to an attorney who's obviously has the know-how and everything is. Maybe that particular individual didn't know the ins and outs as far as county law is concerned, where if you went to the committee itself maybe a second time, you'd get that extra clarification. What about that aspect?
You know what he did on getting that opinion? He resigned his position. He resigned. He turned in his car. He turned in the credit cards. He was no longer district manager. Done. And now, under the law, and this is correct, a corporation is a separate entity. Everything was done above board. And look, he had to clarify this and get going because he was in the middle of several major projects with Center Reef, building projects, repair projects. He was the one who could do it. As an consultant, he could make sure that they didn't lose 6 months to a year of time trying to get up to snuff. He did it so he could get in there and get the work done. And he did a good job. And, you know, they've actually flipped this whole case around. You know, we always had the no-show jobs with the wives, and that's how they funnel money to people and everything else.
Absolutely.
They're trying to prove that Rudy did too much work for his $10,000 for the corporation's $10,000 a month. He was there too much. He did too much. But you know what? He's not an official of the district. And that's the law. They could have changed that. They could have said that they can't be consultants or his wife can't have a corporation working for them, but they didn't. And so that the district wouldn't get hurt, he formed that corporation and went to work for them for 6 months.
Right.
And here's where it becomes, you know, everybody knew exactly what was going on. The board had to approve the contract. They knew it was the wife's contract. They knew Rudy would be doing the work. I mean, this is not nefarious. This is not hiding something. This is believing you're doing what's right. Go back to the ethics board, and they move like molasses. He wouldn't get an approval or disapproval for another 6 months. He couldn't wait that long. So he went to the best lawyer he could, the guy who wrote the county law.
Should he have waited, though, Ray? Ray, should he have waited at least? If it did take that long, should he have waited? Go ahead.
I want to see a jury condemn this man for not wanting to hurt the Center Reach Fire Department. I want to see a jury convict him with his background and his record when he did everything he could to make sure he could fill that breach when they needed him.
Now, listen, we know he's a hero. We know his service and everything else. There's no question. Listen, when it comes to character and everything else, you will portray that beyond. There's no doubt about it as far as the character of a Rudy Sundeman. So, again, Sundeman created a shell company. Okay, so I won't use that.
Something used uniquely to launder money and do things undercover, not in the open.
Fair. That's fair. That's my bad. So, but did Rudy create another entity? Let's put it that way. As far as, you know, to making sure, let's face it, his work would be finished in a way. Did he create another company as far as that was concerned?
Well, there's no doubt. It's very public. We have now that's Fireman Management as a corporation that is then employed. The five commissioners employ them as a consultant. And Rudy goes there and does his job. He reports to them. Every time they meet, he either gives them a written report as to what he's done or he appears and gives an oral report. It's in all the minutes. So this isn't like something that was the shell corporation that was hiding money and you know, just waiting to launder it. That's a word of art. This was a real entity with a real purpose and a real job, and Rudy did it for all the right reasons. That's not criminal intent.
What about is the crux of it all here, you know, the fact that, according to the DA, that Rudy lied to the Board of Ethics when they questioned him about his ties to the district. Is that the crux of everything going on here on the other side?
I'm going to say this. If I don't get every one of those five perjury counts dismissed on motions, I'll blow them up in the courtroom. They're vague. They're misleading. I mean, at one point, they have an argument about what's management and what isn't management and part of the perjury count. Well, that's not management. That's Rudy's answer. He tells them that they've appointed people to take over as dispatchers and scheduling people. It's all true. If I had had this indictment before before I went before the judge, I would have almost made a motion orally, although you can't do that. I mean, one of the big counts is, did he receive any income from the corporation? That's the perjury. You know, he basically said, I never got a check from the corporation. And that's true. You want to search for the truth? What happened to the money the corporation got? That's the question. And the answer, which he's told people 100 times, is we use it to pay our household expenses. My wife had got it in the checking account, and she paid the mortgage, she paid the kids' dance lessons. It was just supplementing the household account. Income? Rudy's a blue-collar guy who's a great fireman. He's not an accountant. He's not an attorney. The nuances get, did I get a check? I didn't get a check. So ask the proper question. I'm telling you, it's amazing how they go back to the income.
Oh, you are. Listen, I even said to the audience, I got on Tom's show the other day. You and I spoke off the air. Listen, I've never heard more of a passionate Perini when it comes to you called it an empty indictment. That's what you said. You were very passionate. You felt very strongly about this. I will say that. I said that to the audience.
This is an indictment with an agenda, and it's not a good one. And, you know, I'm repeating myself, stop me, but the way a grand jury is handled and manipulated, it is the prosecutor's tool, and it can be very good and it can be very bad. Here I think they did the wrong thing. I think you could almost call it a witch hunt, which is a popular word in politics these days.
Sunderman called it, you know, a political, you know, kind of a, I'm kind of putting a few paraphrases here, but, you know, he called it kind of a political hatchet job, that type of thing. Listen, I even, when it first came out, believe it or not, now listen, you can have many conspiracies here. It came out in the day of a public hearing for the red light cameras and all that. You know, listen, you can say what you want when you kind of peel away the onion, but that's the way it was. Was it coincidental? Who the heck knows? But all in all, you called it a very empty indictment. You feel very confident. You know, let's go over it again. Charges Rudy with 5 counts of first-degree perjury, filing a false instrument, and I guess he lied. I guess that's the other portion of it, that he lied on a financial disclosure form. But you've been very adamant regarding those 5 counts, though, is what you're saying.
Let's talk about the financial disclosure form. He did not hide that his wife owned. Now that's fire management. It's in the form. His income's in the form. I mean, Cine accused him of signing off on his own vouchers. Well, maybe they should take a look at the vouchers. What he signs off on is basically that the work was done. Then it goes to the right on the form, and I'll read you the form where Rudy put his initials. The above services of materials were rendered and furnished, and the date stated above. And then it goes to a commissioner. This claim is approved, but the commissioner must sign it. And then, before they pay anybody, 3 out of 5 commissioners must sign off on the overall spending for the month. And they all know Rudy did the work because he reported to them 11 times. I mean, you can't take the facts and go tell half-truths or take the facts and spin them to make them look bad. That's why I want to get in front of a 12-person jury. I want an opportunity to test their facts because I think these are half-truths.
We're talking with Ray Perini, part of the team, Perini Herget. Ray is representing legislator Rudy Sunderman of the 3rd District. You have an indictment unsealed the other day, 5 counts, first-degree perjury, filing false instruments, second degree, and lying on a financial disclosure form and other charges. Listen, I could see a lot of this stuff getting thrown out. The one thing, Ray, and kindly, you know, reverse me a little bit, try to at least in the thinking. We go back to the beginning of the conversation. The one thing that kind of sits in my mind is this ethics board situation. the letter that Rudy got saying he didn't deem it as anything of criminal nature, so to speak. The fact that he didn't want to wait the 6 months, you know, from the committee for clarification, the whole thing there. You know, that's the one thing I think when Ray Perini is in that courtroom, when it comes all said and done, when these other charges, which I do believe will be thrown out, that could be, Ray. It could be a sticking point as far as, you know, maybe not getting that clarification, waiting to see the Board of Ethics Committee within the county confines give you a yay or nay rather than getting a letter from an outsider here who, you know, expressed his opinion and everything else. Obviously, I'm not downgrading that individual. I'm sure he has, you know, a degree and everything else in this stuff. But that could be a sticking point. How are you going to fight that?
I'm going to fight that on the law or on a motion to dismiss. But in front of a jury, when you read the wording of that ethics opinion, you cannot have dual employment. You cannot be a dual employee of two districts, like the Ledge and the Fire District. I mean, they called out teachers and they called out professors. I guess the fire, you know, when you're a volunteer fireman, you don't have a big enough union to get the Ledge to do that for you. But at the end of the day, what he was prohibited from doing was having a dual employment with two agencies. He resigned. A corporation that was formed open and above board, so everybody knew about it. And in fact, this complaint wasn't even brought against him about dual responsibility until after the 6 months were up and they withdrew from working for the Center Reach Fire District. I think on the law, he did everything right. And if you're going to tell me he had criminal intent, tell me what it's for, so we could work twice as hard and do more work. Or was it just to do the right thing by the Center Reach Fire Department? I mean, this guy's been a firefighter for 32 years, 20,000 fire calls. He can't walk away from a district and leave them in the lurches. That's not his makeup. So he did everything right with no criminal intent. And I don't think a Suffolk jury of 12 hearing all these facts are going to do something, oh, my God, this is a horrible crime. Or is this a targeted crime with an agenda, a political hit? I'm sorry, but I feel very strongly about it.
Ray Perini, a couple of minutes. So, in essence, Rudy goes back, August 13th? You've asked for a speedy trial. Are we looking in that type of umbrella, like September? Is that what you're looking at here, realistically, Ray?
Well, when I went and sat with the DA, doing this investigation, I gave them that letter. They wouldn't give me anything. So I haven't even gotten a copy of the supposed perjurious transcript yet. I'll have that soon. I know Judge Zemf is going to compel them to give me my discovery. So I think a September trial date is very realistic. And that's going to be about as quick as any case gets tried in this county.
You're going to obviously accompany Ray mid-August. Is that when Perini says to the judge, listen, I want these charges thrown out based on this, this, and that? Is that something that takes place from a procedural standpoint on August 13th?
Well, until I get the actual here's what I need some discovery, although I have a lot of records that are in the public domain, that which the DA has that I don't get. Until I get them, it's hard to frame all your issues. I would like to have motions filed, but not a decision, by mid-August, no later than the end of August, with the mid-September trial date. That would be my plan, but that's going to be dependent on what they give me and how quick they give it to me. They talk about open files. I'm going to call them on it.
And pretty much, you know, you're gonna be right there. You know, you're gonna call them out when you have to, and everything else. But I mean, do you think that the county will go ahead and adhere, you know, to kind of a quick setup? Usually sometimes these things take a long time. Listen, Rudy wants it done, I'm sure, quick. You as well, you've stated this. But do you think the courts will adhere to that as far as getting you guys set up in a proper fashion?
I've already spoke to the judge, Anthony Zemf, with Mark Lindemann present, that I want a speedy trial, and he said he's open, he can do it in September. So I think we're going to be, this case will be done before SPOTUS.
There you go. SPOTUS is what? November 12th. We'll see.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, you got your hands full. But I'm sure, like, you know, listen, the passion and everything else you have displayed, I feel very strong. I've known you a long time. We'll see how it plays out. I cannot thank you, sir, enough for a couple of minutes.
Question. Can I do the commentary on the trial also? That's a joke.
Now, how about this? How about this? I would like to mic you up and get you live reports as you get into this thing. Can you adhere to that, to be on the LI in the AM program firsthand and everything else? The defense of Sunderland will have Perini mic'd up for firsthand reports. Do you agree with that, sir?
You know, but one, I have to check the ethics, and two, I can't tell them everything I'm going to do before I do it. At the end of the day, to recap, I could probably do that.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to have you on exclusively here. We can't. You know, we always welcome you. You know that. You don't need an invitation. Perini tells me the other day he hasn't spoken to me in 3 months. Like, I need to invite him on this show. My goodness gracious. I mean, he's on the show all the time with his great analysis and everything else. Man, he was right there. Mangano, every week I had him on, right, Bray? Had
you did? No, no. I always say we're a very good team.
Well, listen, so is Perini Herger, and we await, and we will follow this trek here. We can't thank you again for a couple here this morning, though.
Thanks for giving me the time. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Here you go, the great Ray Perini, folks. Listen, you heard him. He has, a lot of energy on this thing. A lot of energy, feels very confident.